Here's a guy who's got global buzz plenty, as they say, in his home country of Nigeria. Writer Teju Cole has a book that's just been published here in the U.S. It's called Every Day is for the Thief, and it takes readers on a wild odyssey through one of Africa's most chaotic cities, Lagos, Nigeria. Corruption, bribes, scams, they're all front and center. Teju Cole was raised in Nigeria, but now lives in the United States. We asked him how corruption Lagos style might differ from what he's experienced here in the States.
Here in the U.S., you know that you pay lobbyists and the lobbyists buy the senators. And it's horrendous, but it's sort of clear.
But you wouldn't bribe a policeman here in the United States. It wouldn't even occur to you. Whereas in Nigeria, it's expected.
That's right. I suppose I'm careful to say that having a senator in your pocket, which, again, I don't think I'm committing any libel to say that senators depend on money from corporations and individuals and try to make those people happy rather than the electorate. I don't know if that's any better than having to bribe a gate man or a policeman. The problem with having to bribe everyone at every level of society, the person who's at the registry who's doing documents for you, the driver of your car, the teacher at your student's school, the problem with that is that it now puts you into a sort of environment of a barely containable hysteria where getting anything at all done depends on skipping the queue, you know, jumping the line and seeking some kind of instantaneous advantage. And I don't think that's actually good for people because it means that every negotiation in the society becomes tainted with money.
Yeah, the narrator finds one group of guys, the Yahoo Yahoos. Who are they? I mean, just talk about opportunity.
Well, I mean, I think everybody who's listening has gotten emails from these guys. Emails originating most often from Nigeria. An email from a stranger that says that, oh, if you can sort of help them transfer some funds into a bank, that you will get a cut of it.
Did you meet any of them? And did they strike you as kind of clever, world-class fraudsters?
I would be in social situations and meet a guy who's sort of like living large. And it would sort of be mentioned, it would be rumored that he made his money by defrauding people internationally. You know, I think one of the strange things about Nigerian society in general and about Yoruba culture in particular, and Yoruba is the dominant ethnic group in the city of Lagos and in that part of the country. And one peculiar thing about this culture is that we don't really have a class system the way it is understood here in the United States. And we don't really actually have a caste system either. This understanding is there that if you get money, it is utterly transformative, not just in terms of what you can do financially, but in terms of your status, the way people look at you, the amount of respect that you get within the systems of the culture itself. You're considered great. People greet you in obsequious ways. Because of this dream of fabulous wealth, that desire to hustle and make it by any means possible becomes heightened.
So it's African proverb time, because what you just described, that reality combined with other things in this book, like the 419 scams and bribery, they all kind of go back to that Yoruba proverb, which is the basis for the title of your book. So explain the proverb.
Okay, so the proverb in Yoruba says, Ojo gbogbon tole, ojo konito ninko, which basically means every day is for the thief, one day is for the owner of the house.
Yeah, break that down.
And I think the sense of it is that when you're doing something that's not right, when you're involved in fraud, when you're committing a crime, when you are acting with impunity, it is actually possible to do it. You just keep doing it and you just keep doing it, except that one day it stops working. And so that when we view people who are, let's say, involved in corruption or things are not going, you know, they're not observing the rules of how things ought to be done, I think it can be a comfort to understand that it only takes one day for all of that to come crashing down, for them to sort of enter a kind of disgrace. But of course, I think there's a bit of wishful thinking in this, because there are people who do get away with it.
This book is kind of a portrait of Nigerian psyche today. You talk about the tremendous cultural pressure to claim that one is happy even when one is not, especially when one is not. How do Nigerians do that like no one else?
I think one thing I should quickly say here is that this is actually a very affectionate and grimly, I think grimly funny in parts, portrait of of the city that I grew up in. But I was also willing to be quite direct about the things I was seeing. And one of those things does have to do with the sort of cultural expectations of, I think, a general sense of burying your head in the sand, which really is the only way that people can deal with a situation that's crumbling all around them. You know, I live in New York City. I can sort of afford the privilege of getting down to brass tacks and just saying, this is what things are. In part because, you know, there's a lot in the society that'll catch me if I stumble and fall. But when you're in Nigeria and you're really just trying to live, let's say, a regular middle-class life and trying to get your kids to school and trying to, you know, get treatment at the hospital and all of that, I think it was Eliot, T.S. Eliot, who said that humanity cannot bear very much reality or something like that. And I think if you're living in an environment like Nigeria where everything is just sort of like an illusion in terms of the functioning of the society, you don't want to look too closely at it. So the idea that Nigerians are the happiest people in the world makes a kind of sense. It's a coping mechanism. It sort of goes hand in hand with the post-traumatic stress that I perceive a lot of the society to be dealing with.
Well, you quote T.S. Eliot. You also quote in your book the great Fela Anikulapokuti, his song Suffering and Smiling, which is a great note to go out on. Kind of captures all of that.
Absolutely.
Teju Cole has just published in the U.S. Every Day is for the Thief. Thanks very much for speaking with us, Teju. Great to speak to you again.
Thanks very much, Marco.
Every day not the same thing. Every day not the same thing. Suffer for one.
Amen.
Enjoy for heaven.
Amen.
Christians go they yap.
Amen.
Spirit to heaven knows.
Amen.
Muslims go they call. Allahu Akbar.
You're listening to The World from PRI, Public Radio International.
The World is brought to you by PRI with help from Lumosity.com, a brain training program designed by neuroscientists that has been used by 50 million people worldwide. More at Lumosity.com.